welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. I'm Lainey.
I'm Mark.
And today we have an amazing guest, Dr. Lepke. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Coral Department and an upcoming event that's coming up next week. Well, actually, when we post this, it'll be happening. Voices Unplugged, which is Tuesday, March 19th at 7:30 at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church.
The venue has changed.
Oh, the venue has changed.
It's going to be at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, which is even nicer.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who want to go, the admission's free for students, but it's $10 for adults. So feel free to go and give our, you know, choral department and our jazz ensemble a support group. Okay. But we're just going to go right into our questions here.
Yeah.
So first of all, jazz is not really something that a lot of people will talk about around.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that UNA's vocal jazz ensemble incorporates other genres into their performances as well. So do you think this is a good way to familiarize our students with, you know, this form of music that you guys put on?
Yeah, it was called the Vocal Jazz Ensemble when I got here, and we probably should have changed the name by now, because maybe a quarter of what we do you could call jazz. There's a lot of other things that we incorporate. It's a group that does anything suited for small ensemble that's a cappella. So that ranges from jazz, pop, rock. There's a number of groups that we're fans of that we follow and do their arrangements. You name it. We're on this concert, we're even splitting the women and men, and the men are doing an old Larry Gatlin tune called All the Gold in California. And the ladies are doing a female folk trio song called One Voice. So there's lots going on. It really spans a whole bunch of genres. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. Especially for just to hear a variety of music.
Exactly.
And that you probably don't listen to all the time.
There's not only a variety, there's something that you'll know. Like the last thing that we sing is an arrangement of Eye of the Tiger, going way, way back.
Wow.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So speaking of different genres, what's your favorite genre of music to sing and to listen to?
Oh, goodness. Well, I have to confess that during the school year, I don't listen to a lot of music because I make it and I'm on the clock with it so much that I need a break, right? But I like it all. There's virtually not a genre that I don't enjoy, don't listen to. If I need music just to chill out with, that can be just about anything. What did I listen to lately? Listen to the Bach and the Company cello suites, you know, one day. Or I'll listen to something from the 80s that I remember. Or my little girl and I will be in the car and I'll give her an education on 80s music. So we'll be listening to Michael Jackson, Men at Work, or you name it. It really, really varies. The music that the Vocal Jazz Ensemble sings, I think, reflects that. That's one of the great parts about doing this job, is that we get to do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot of fun. And they bring stuff too, right? They find, they'll find a tune that they really want to do and find an arrangement for it, or, they'll very often arrange something for us that they heard a group do. What's an example? A year or two ago, I did an arrangement of Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears from the 80s, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I love it all. I listen to it all. My degree and my first love is always choral music, always will be, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But even that spans a really wide range. I most often will listen to things that feature really good singing,
mm-hmm.
and something that we try to do in the group too.
So I think that's kind of a good concept to kind of grasp, that, you know, when you listen to only one type of, you know, genre of music, I think, honestly, for me, I listen to multiple genres too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I listen to one type of genre for too long, I kind of get tired of it. and like stop, you know, loving it as much as I would before when I started listening to it, and it kind of gets old. So I like to, you know, bring all those other genres in and mix it up so I don't get tired of just one genre, to where at this point on my, you know, my playlist that I listen to, every other song will be like a different type of genre. So I have one, you know, it could be a rock song. The next song could be like a pop song. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important for, you know, everybody. And like, if you guys only have one main type of music that you listen to, change it up a little bit, have some fun, mm-hmm. and you really like it. I think it'll be really cool.
This is one of the cool things about my job. At most universities, the vocal jazz ensemble or the a cappella ensemble, whatever you want to call it, is usually a student-run organization that's not for credit. So it's done in a casual way, and not always taken seriously. Not that we're too serious or anything, but you know, I can go from, you know, one day working on, you know, the Haydn Mass that we just finished doing with the symphony, and turn around and do Eye of the Tiger the next day. It's the best of all possible worlds.
Yeah. Okay. So this show, it's called the Voices Unplugged Show. Mm-hmm. It's coming up on Tuesday, March 19th. So I think you've already given us, you know, a little bit of what we're going to see. Can you go like a little bit more in depth with like different, you said that the men and women are splitting up.
Yep.
Why did you decide to split them up?
Oh, it's just fun to do, just for variety's sake. So we have different kinds of things that we can do. To capture all the aspects and the love of the group itself and what they want to do. So not only will the group itself be doing a wide variety of things, but I also asked them, I want each of you to do a solo, duet, trio, ensemble, whatever, and do something that you wouldn't normally get to do on, say, a school recital. So one of our singers, for example, is singing Somewhere Out There from the movie American Tail. Another couple of people are doing a piano trumpet duet, Misty, which you've probably heard. It lets them do the music that's really near and dear to their heart that they wouldn't otherwise get to do. This provides a forum for them to show off themselves in a solo capacity.
I think that's going to be fun, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about all like the different things that we're going to hear. Are there going to be any like visual aspects towards this?
Not visual in the sense that we're dancing or that we've got a slideshow or anything like that. Yeah. But visual in that we arrange ourselves as an ensemble that we can really watch each other, and we're big believers that the music needs to be reflected on the singers' faces and the singers' bodies. Usually, if, for example, just as a pedagogical thing, if we're not together as an ensemble, it means we're not watching each other, right? Mm-hmm. That visual, aural aspects aren't integrated well enough. That especially music that has multiple melodies going on, it has to sound like look like a conversation among equals, yeah. Right? That's the fun part about doing live music, and that's something that just on an audio recording, you might not hear, obviously, which is why you go to live concerts and you see performers interact with each other visually in a way that reflects the music. That's the fun part about going to concerts, right? Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah,
and thinking of like the visual aspects, y'all actually have a video on UNA the choir page.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so last year, the vocal jazz ensemble performed the Star Spangled Banner at a hockey game.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing. I listened to it.
Thanks.
Oh my word, it got me having chills and everything. So how do you think that made you feel, and do you think it kind of shined a spotlight on UNA as a whole?
It can't hurt. Yeah. It combined my two greatest loves, and that is choral singing with hockey. I wish I could take credit for that arrangement. It's not by us. It's by a guy by the name of Jamie Ray, who has a group called Voctive. They're out of Nashville, I think. Found this great arrangement, again, brought to us by one of our singers. I didn't know of this arrangement. We had been singing an anthem arrangement for years, one that we were happy with, and we heard this one and we just said, got to do it, because it's got so many different colors to it. And we sang it at this hockey game and blew the roof off, and they loved us. The general manager of the Huntsville Havoc, no, the guy who's in charge of all events at VBC was there that night. And he loved it so much, he said to us, this was just far and above anything that, any anthem that they had heard that year, and invited us back to sing it at the playoffs that same year. We couldn't. There was a concert that night that half of our students were involved in, but yeah, to get the spotlight on us in that way is a really fun thing, and just unbelievably rewarding for our students to be a part of that with an audience of, you know, 5,000-6,000 people. It's really cool.
I think that would be like a big, for me personally, it'd be like a giant motivational boost for me. Like if I saw that, you know, these people who are doing something that I like to do are getting, you know, to do, you know, performing at, you know, a Havoc's game and getting all that, you know, amount of like stardom. Mm-hmm. For, you know, for lack of a better word.
And they deserve it because they work so hard,
exactly,
right? And that music, that one of the reasons that we love this arrangement is that it divides more than just four ways, more than just soprano, alto, tenor, bass. There's sometimes the alto part will split three ways. So it's intricate. It sounds easier than it is. It took a long time to get right and to get all the pieces together and just to get to show it off in a public forum, and then it goes viral on Facebook was thoroughly rewarding. We just love it.
I think it's crazy. I would like that would drive me to make sure that I do better as I can, especially being as close in age as I am.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But okay, so there's another event coming up in April.
Yeah.
That's called the Spring Sing.
Yep. Yeah.
And this actually incorporates the jazz ensemble along with the collegiate singers and the chamber choir as well. What can we kind of expect to see from that show? Is it going to be kind of similar to the show that we're going to see on Tuesday, just mixed with all the different programs? And what do you think that these programs working together can kind of help each other with?
Oh, it's that one will be more eclectic because there's more groups. It'll be a little bit more focused program-wise. We're calling it Songs of Love, Hope, and Renewal. So Rebecca Rockhill, who's my wonderful colleague, who directs the Collegiate Singers, our largest group, wanted to do something on that theme, you know, just for our time, right? Because I don't think we realized how often people come to our concerts at the end of a hard day or a hard week or a hard year and need to be uplifted somehow. And we wanted to find pieces that were encouraging, for lack of a better word, pieces that shone a light, pieces that were encouraging, and so that'll incorporate a few things from this jazz concert, but it will also incorporate things that we've been working on all semester in all three groups. So that ranges from a Renaissance motet, right? That is just gorgeous and uplifting. The final piece on the concert is a setting of that great poem called Invictus, which ends with, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. And it's a really outstanding setting of it that we found. Mm-hmm. So we're casting a wide net on that program too. It'll be just down the street at First Presbyterian, which is a great building to sing in, and lots of amazing music that is there to, we hope, help. In short.
I think it will, and I think that bringing all of them together and, you know, having pieces, you know, that you say will kind of uplift and give people something that they can kind of go to and kind of let themselves loose from all the stresses that they've had in the past, I think that's something that, you know, everybody should be able to experience, whether it be, you know, after a week or a month or even a year. I think people should be able to do something, you know, be able to experience something like I believe this show is going to be, and as well as this the jazz ensemble show as well on Tuesday, I think that it's going to, you know, do the same thing on a smaller scale, since it's not, you know, all those three groups, but it's still going to do the same thing. And I think it's actually a really good idea.
Thanks.
And also, you know, one thing that the School of the Arts likes to do is collaboration. So having, you know, all three groups collaborating to do this amazing show is awesome. I mean, that's what we like to represent too. And, you know, it's also cool because I know that a few singers that are in like collegiate singers and jazz ensemble are also have been in opera and doing stuff like that. So they always, you know, intertwine, and that's really cool because everyone should be able to experience all different kinds of arts.
Collaboration is a tricky thing, right? You have to go into any collaboration eyes wide open and hoping and working for the goal that you're greater than the sum of your parts, right? So at the end, we'll definitely do something with all of the singers together, just as a show of unity and something that we can all just sing.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
And that's something that we always want to we want people to do in the School of the Arts. We want to encourage collaborations because it's a growing thing. There haven't been very many, and I think, you know, this past month we had the opera performance was the first real collaboration between different School of the Arts departments, which is really cool. And I think, you know, this is another stepping stone towards being able to do more collaborations between the School of the Arts. And I think, you know, once we're able to actually provide more and more collaborations, it's going to be amazing. And the arts are just going to take off, you know, more than they already have.
Oh, I agree. And that opera show, by the way, I attended, and it was fantastic. And I love the way that it was integrated with the films that were going on, with the costumes outside. We need to do more of it. I agree.
Right. It was beautiful for those of you who weren't able to attend. It was amazing.
Yep. Yes.
And so, going back to the choral program, do you have any advice for anyone who is trying to join a choral group or even look at studying vocal studies or anything like that?
I'll start with the first one. Our Collegiate Singers is unauditioned. Anybody from any major at UNA can sing with the Collegiate Singers, especially if you've been in your high school group. We run into all the time with people thinking that they're not good enough to sing with our choral groups, and I promise you are. We will find a place for you. You know, if you feel tentative about it or you're not sure of your abilities, then we strategically place you in between a couple of singers who have been there a little longer, and people find their way pretty quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So the advice is let go of that fear and jump in, and you will not regret it, because we always manage to have a fantastic time making music together. And this is what choir does, right? There's nothing like it on the planet. There really isn't, you know, where you have everybody doing the same thing in the same room together for a greater purpose, and no one is sitting on the bench. You know, there's nothing like it in the world, which is why I decided to you know, make it my life's work, because it's just thoroughly rewarding. So that would be my advice. And with most singers, if you ask them, you know, what's bigger, is your fear of doing it imperfectly bigger than your love of singing with other people? Almost always the answer is, I love this more than I'm afraid of it, right?
Right.
Which is the true test for doing anything in life. You know, which one is bigger?
Yeah.
You do theater, right?
Yes.
Being on stage is a daunting thing, you know. Memorizing your lines, understanding your character. There's lots of pitfalls you can fall into, but none of that matters when you're inside a role, and you're having a blast portraying that character. There's nothing like it.
Right. It's terrifying at first, and then once you get into it, you actually, you know, you understand it, and you're able to.
That terrifying, by the way, doesn't go away,
right?
Ever.
No.
You know, somebody once said that You don't get over stage fright. You just get used to being terrified, or you get comfortable, you know, being a little scared, and it gins you up to do your best, I think, in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know that for a lot of students in the arts, one of the biggest fears is the criticism that you get from either your family or your friends saying that, oh, that's not a real job, or right. Oh, you can't get a job, or oh, why are you pursuing the arts, because that's not going to take you anywhere in life. And a lot of people don't understand that with a love for that, the risk. You know, you're like, okay, I'm okay with the risk.
Right, and it can be a part of your life at any level. Yeah, there are people who make a living mm-hmm. from it, right? I'm one of them. I mean, I'm really lucky to be able to do so. But there's lots of people who work regular jobs, who are doctors, lawyers, administrators, shopkeepers, you name it, who sing in a choir in the evenings mm-hmm. and make that part of their life. Mm-hmm. You can enter into it at any level. Now, if you want to do it professionally, that involves an incredible amount of work. There's mm-hmm. there's no getting around that, as it should. But there's lots of different ways to get involved.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I want to head off of what you said, Lainey, with people telling other people that there's not, you can't make a career out of that, or you're not going to be successful. The thing is, there are plenty of careers in the arts, whether it be, being an artist professionally or being like a professional, choral singer. There are tons of opportunities out there. But everybody, what they don't understand is how hard, people in our field have to work to be able to get that. And they don't understand that because they haven't been pushed to work as hard as we have. There's tons of business jobs out there that you can get. I wouldn't say easy, but it's you're more likely to get a business job than you are an arts job. So it's kind of actually more complicated than it is that you aren't going to get a career. So if you want to be in a career in the arts, make sure you work hard towards it and don't listen to those people, because there are careers out there, and you can make your own career out of it. You don't necessarily have to make it your own job title.
And there's room for people who work hard. There's room for people who study passionately what they want to do, those people find their ways to the top. But that goes for anything. If you're a so-so manager of a store, you're not going to last long either, right? There's lots of ways to fail in business. And there's also lots of ways to succeed. And it usually boils down to paying attention and to working hard and loving what you do.
Yeah, passion.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for today. But we definitely want to thank you for coming, to be on our podcast.
Oh, thanks. Here. I appreciate it.
For those of you, we just want to let you know, he literally came in here from Birmingham. Like, he just got back from Birmingham to do this. So
yeah,
we really want to thank you so much. Make sure that you guys all go see the show on Tuesday, or it might be, tomorrow, whenever we post this, go see the show. It'll be before the show. I'll make sure of that.
March 19th, 7:30, Grace Episcopal Church. Sorry, I got it wrong too. It'll be at Church of the Good Shepherd here in Florence, which is on the corner of Darby and Cloyd.
Okay, Church of the Good, whatever you just said. I don't Shepherd, remember the name. Yeah. But free for students, $10 for adults. Make sure you go support them. It's going to be a blast. They're going to do a little bit of everything. So don't be afraid to go just because there's jazz in the name. So, but thank you guys for listening. And make sure you go check out all of our other episodes if you haven't. They're on Podbean. They're on iTunes. Check out all of our social medias if you're not already following us. And thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts. Produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.